morning when I woke up, there was a song going through my head. You ever have a day like that where the song just starts playing? I had to get my phone out, turn on the song, and listen to it. And you know, sometimes that's because the enemy is trying to attack a person. Sometimes the Lord's just wanting us to worship him, and he puts this song in our heads, or it's for protection or whatever, but it gets us in the right frame. And I just love waking up like that. Well, the Lord is already working while I'm asleep, and I woke up with the song, In the Mighty Name of Jesus. In the Mighty Name of Jesus. Just playing. It's still, I can still hear it. Just In the Mighty Name of Jesus. It's a beautiful song. And so that's how I woke up this morning. I hope that when you woke up this morning, you woke up feeling the presence of the Lord. Sometimes it doesn't happen like that. Then we just turn our minds to him. Just turn our thoughts to him. The Bible says that if we will think on whatsoever is true and honest and just and lovely, of good report, if there's any praiseworthy thing in it, if there's any virtue in it, think on those things. So when the enemy tries to attack you with something else, turn your minds to Christ. Turn your hearts to the Lord. Turn your focus to Christ. So the Lord was kind of working on me this morning. I was back and forth with the message today and found out as he brought me right back to what I've been working on all along. That God is just good. He's just good every day. He never fails. And I want to wait on him and make sure. That's what you do. Wait on the Spirit of the Lord. And I want us to pray. And I want you to stretch your hands forward towards me and pray for me today as I move forward in the message. And pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing, Lord, that you are sovereign and you have a plan, and you're about your work. And Lord, we know that we need to be about your business, every single one of us. God, I pray that you have your way in this church body here, this local church body here, that you have your way in this pastor right here, Lord, that you set here, and that your will be done, because that's what matters the most. In the mighty name of Jesus, that your will be done, God. And we give you praise and glory as we respond to your word. Help us, Lord, to take hold of it, hold fast to it, and work it out in our lives the way that you intend. And may an impact in the world around us for your glory, Jesus, for your glory, for your honor, for your glory alone. Lord, to you be all the glory and the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will turn with me in the Word of God, as Kay so often says, these words of eternal life. And that is true. These words of eternal life. Turn with me to Acts. We find ourselves back in Acts again this week. And the Lord is dealing and working on a plan for our church as we move forward into the new year. And I know we're just in October, but you know what? Before we turn around, it'll be January 2026. God has a plan. If the Lord tarries and we find ourselves in the service here in January 2026, God has a plan for our church. He has a plan for our lives. And when we turn to Acts chapter 13 today. We're going to be looking at the first three verses in Acts chapter 13 today. And no, I don't have a PowerPoint today. I apologize. Do not be offended with me. And I'm going to read verse 2, and I would like for you to stand with me for the reading of verse 2 today. We're getting our exercise this morning, aren't we? We're standing in the reverence of God's word. We're standing because God's word is so important in our lives, out of reverence for him, as you all know, except for maybe some children here. So Acts chapter 13 verse 2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. You may be seated. So last week we learned about what happened in Antioch as the gospel message spread across the Gentile world, out of the Jewish community and across the Gentile world. That's what we talked about last week. Our focus was Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26 last week, where we learned the church in Jerusalem had sent Barnabas to encourage the Gentile believers there across as he went along and came to Antioch. And Barnabas rejoiced, he did, upon arriving at Antioch. And the reason that he rejoiced is because he saw something. Something that we see today, even today, happening. And the title of the message is The Evidence of God's Grace. And this is what Barnabas rejoiced in, seeing the Spirit's gifts in action and the evidence of God's grace upon the church there at Antioch. It was an amazing sight. He was seeing God's word being proclaimed, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we talked about last week, Barnabas encouraged them to purposefully and openly, from their hearts, remain true, to remain loyal with the Lord Jesus, to intentionally, purposefully make it happen. Remain loyal to the Lord Jesus. Back in that day, it was difficult because of persecution and many things. As we see today, there's nothing new under the sun. And we've been talking about persecution for a while, for a few weeks. Today, well, if you remember, as we left Barnabas, he was going to Tarsus to look for Saul because of all that was happening in the church. He needed help. They were seeking help. So he's going to look for Saul, who you know had met Jesus. His name was also Paul. But here in this context, in this region, they called him Saul. They returned to Antioch, and then they were teaching. They didn't just teach for a week and go on. They taught for a while. They taught for a year. They worked hard where their roots were planted in that church, and the gospel of Jesus Christ was spreading from that church to the world. It became a powerhouse of sending out. It changed. The gospel changed the world, not just a small amount of people, but the world around about the church there at Antioch. It was at Antioch that believers were first called Christians. And that's what we talked about, and that's where we ended last week. First called Christians at the church of Antioch. Now, the church last week, we talked about it. There was a lot of different people from a lot of different areas. We're going to touch on that again today. So if you'll look again with me there at chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1 says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So it gives us a list of people. That's not all there were, but these particular people were doing something. This is what was going on. It says in verse 2, and while they were worshiping and fasting, and that sticks out to me today, while they were worshiping and while they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said something. The Holy Spirit spoke and said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then verse 3 says, so after they had fasted, they didn't just stop then, they continued in their fasting. After they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. We see here in this small portion of the mighty word of God, a moment in time where God speaks to a church, to a people who are praying and seeking God and fasting. And the church is reaching out, and this is before and just at the beginning of Paul's missionary journeys. Oh, God's at work. He's at work today just as much as he was at work then. He is working in our congregation today, in our personal lives today. The Holy Spirit's job is being, his work is to glorify Jesus. His work is to point to this mighty grace of God. And in when we see the work of the Holy Spirit moving among us, we know the grace of God is upon us. God is working in our midst, and we've been seeing that. We are meeting at 10:15 for prayer. We are praying at home. We are praying in our cars. We are praying in these altars. We are walking around the church building praying. We are walking around the sanctuary praying. There is prayer happening. We are here worshiping God together. We are seeing God being glorified here among us. And it's because of us alone? No, it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It's because of the love of God that the work of the Holy Spirit shines into our lives through His Word, through God's Word, through the Holy Spirit touching our lives and meeting with us. Like the song in the morning I heard, that was the Holy Spirit singing a song to me. And He does that for us all. He loves us. God loves us. The Holy Spirit's work is to advance the work of Christ to the glory of the Father. He empowers and anoints the people of God to do the same. It's a partnership. We join in with His flow. It's not our way or the highway. It's God's way, the only way. It's God's way. And when God's way happens in our personal lives, then we are going to be effective in our church life. We're going to be effective in the world that we come in contact with. We're going to be a strong body of Christ, and we are. The church isn't a wimping, cowardice organization in the corner of darkness somewhere. No, no, the church is a light. The church is a light. The light of the gospel, the church shines the light of the gospel to the world around us. We're not to be cowardice. We're not to be afraid. We're not to shun back like as if we can't go forward, but we're to take the enemy's ground, and we're to take it boldly. Now, the enemy doesn't like that, and he's going to cause a ruckus if he can. And if he starts to cause a ruckus, then we're going to call on the name of Jesus. And you know what God does? His Holy Spirit moves among us and just outflows a gift of love. Part of it's fruits of the Spirit, not a gift, but it's a grace. It's from the Lord, a love that conquers all, a love that overcomes fear, a love that forgives, a love that doesn't take things to heart in a way that's wrong, that we would sit and meddle with it and hold on to it and sulk in it and cower, but a love that's courageous. That's the kind of love that forgives. That's the kind of love that moves forward. That's the kind of love that God has called us to, His love. The Holy Spirit's work in the church at Antioch resulted in a church that reached out to the whole world around. Now, when we think about that, the whole world around, that's a lot of people, a lot of different people. And it is my heart's desire to see a diversity of people here. And we see that. I want more. I want to see the diversity of the people, of the community around us in these seats. I want to see God's work in all the area around us. And I know you do too. I know it. I believe it with all my heart, that you want your loved ones to know the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants your loved ones to know the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit, God Almighty, wants to glorify Jesus in our lives. That's what He's doing. Jesus glorified God in giving His life. He came from glory and He glorified God. Remember His prayer? He glorified God. He even prayed for the world. He didn't pray that the Lord God Almighty would take us out of the world, but that he would keep us from the evil of the world. But we have a choice in our own lives and hearts. Are we going to turn off the internet? Are we going to turn off that social media? Maybe it's YouTube. Maybe it's a video, but it's not becoming to God and it's not pleasing to God. God says, turn it off. God says, turn off that thing that's not clean. God says, get rid of it out of your life because he's got a higher calling for us. He's got a higher calling for you. The Lord reaches out to all classes of people, all needs, all nationalities, all races. There's not a one that he doesn't love. No one was excluded. Everyone was invited to Christ and welcomed into the fellowship and the ministry of that church at Antioch. The church at Antioch was ministering church and it reached out. It was a church that God used to launch and support even the missionaries going out further than their own city. Across the way, across the region, to the world. God says to us, don't despise small beginnings. That even is talking about our own self. Maybe we don't feel sometimes like we're able to share the gospel. Maybe you might have said this to yourself. I'm not skilled enough to talk to that person. I might mess it up. The Holy Spirit does not mess it up. The Holy Spirit does not want us to cower back and turn away when he wants us to speak out. He wants us to be courageous with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In love, share your Savior who will save others by you sharing him. You will not be alone in doing so. You will be with the Holy Spirit helping you. He's our helper. The Word of God provides evidence here of this extent to the work which the Holy Spirit is working. We see Barnabas. Now, he was what they say a wealthy man born and reared in the island of Cyprus. We see Simeon, or Niger, they called him. He says that he was a black man. He says that he possibly was from Africa. And he was also a Roman. It was a Roman name, and he moved about in the Roman culture. And some even suggest that Simeon of Cyrene also carried the cross of Jesus. It's possible. It's possible. We don't know exactly. We're talking about different people. Lucius of Cyrene, he was likely one of the poor people that were persecuted, that was dispersed and scattered. And he went out and he spread the gospel where he went. So even when he arrived at Antioch, he and others began to share Christ. Wherever you go in the world, share Jesus. Wherever you go in the world, share Jesus. Whether you go on vacation and you find yourself in Hawaii, share Jesus. Wouldn't that be a nice vacation? And if you went to over to Italy, or if you went to the other parts of the world, if you went home to Africa, wherever you go, share Jesus. Speak of him often. Menahem, he was of the higher class of society, being the foster brother to Herod and Antipas. This was Herod who had tried Jesus and murdered John the Baptist. Menahem knew he loved the Lord and he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have Saul. He was of Tarsus. He was from Tarsus. He was one of the religionists. Remember, he was a Pharisee, and he was a Jew, and he was also a Roman, he spoke of. Paul, that's what Jesus called him. He renamed him. And this is the one in him, and he's at the bottom of the list. God working and bringing people together. And that's what we have here. If I was to ask you where you're from, you're going to find people who are from Chicago. You're going to find people from Ohio. You're going to find people from Africa, Togo. You're going to find some people from all over the world. We've got some people here that speak different languages. We've got missionaries home from their mission field who's been out there. We have a lot to thank God for, and we have people of all different ages here right now. Now the Lord is working. There is no doubt He is working. And this is His church. It's not my church. We claim it like this is my church. It's right over here. I'm very happy to go there. But this is God's church. That's God's church right over there. It's wonderful to go there. God is moving in our midst. The Holy Spirit's impact on the world is enormous. And what did I say? His work is to glorify Christ. He glorifies Christ in us, through us. He wants to glorify Christ through us. So here we are. What are we seeing? In the verse that I read, we are seeing that they were praying and they were fasting. They were worshiping. Jesus described the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 15, which was just after, John chapter 15, verse 26 through 27, Jesus says this about the Holy Spirit. I have to stop and pray, y'all. Something's afoot. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And you see how the enemy is, how he is like a roaring lion and he's trying to capture away something here. But I pray that you would work on it in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God Almighty. In every soul. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27 says, "But when the Helper comes," and this is Jesus speaking, "whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." And he's talking to the apostles and the disciples who saw him, who were there from the beginning. He's also talking to us and saying that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And he has come to the world. But he's going to come in our hearts and lives if we will allow him. We accept Jesus for who he is. And we yield to the Holy Spirit. And he will baptize us. Jesus does that. And then we will begin to work in the kingdom of God. In line with the Holy Spirit's leading. We cannot do that on our own. We can't. We could try, but we will not be successful without God. He says, "And you will also bear witness." In their sorrow, Jesus said these words a few verses later. Actually, earlier. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. Jesus said he will convict the world concerning sin. Now he does this by the Holy Spirit working in your life as a Christian, as a child of God, just by you walking on the face of the earth and letting the gospel light shine. The Holy Spirit does this. He convicts the world of sin. He does this because they do not believe in Jesus, but yet you do. When you believe in Jesus, it's a conviction to the world. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is alive and well.
and He is Lord. Verse 10 says, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. The Holy Spirit was sent to take on the work and continue the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ, glorifying Jesus Christ through the believers. Through the believers. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan's judged. Wickedness and evil's judged. It's already judged. It's already condemned. And before people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, they are condemned already. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus came into the world to set the world free from condemnation and sin. Jesus came into the world to set them free. So when we go out, we need to go out with the love of Jesus, not a word of condemnation. That's not godly to just be harsh on people. But we do need to speak the truth, the word of God, this word of God, in the love of Jesus, will cover a multitude of sins. He will make a way. The Holy Spirit will carry it further than what we can ourselves. Praise God. Praise God. John 16, 13 through 15, Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, truth, not a lie, the Spirit of truth, and there is a truth that is true, that is absolutely true, and that's God. God's truth, God's word, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that is truth. The world is filled with darkness and lies, twisting things. And these things can seep into homes and lives as they grow in the generations. Each generation being more removed from the truth, more removed from the truth, more removed from truth, unless the Holy Spirit breaks out and unless we see the Lord moving in the glory of God. And that's why we pray in that room at 10:15. That God would be moving, that we would be in line with Him, that we would hear Him, that we would follow Him. And this is what they were doing in Acts here. And this is Acts of the Holy Spirit, not just the disciples. He says, and when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. We cannot know a thing unless the Holy Spirit declares it to us. Cannot know a thing of God unless the Holy Spirit shows it to us. If anyone is reaching out to find out their future by looking at horoscopes or by looking and being curious, be careful if you're curious. If you're looking to those things, you're looking to something evil that is not godly and not of God, but full of corruption and full of hooks to draw you away from the living God. And there are many devices in the world like that. The Word of God is what we need to look for. I call you out of that darkness right now in the name of Jesus to the light of the Lord. Drop it, lay it down, do not pick it up again. Each time it tries to call you, you say you are a liar and turn it off. Shut it down. Put it aside and out of your home and out of your mind. God wants to use you. Do not let anything that the enemy would put in the way draw you away. Verse 14 says, He will glorify me, He being the Holy Spirit, for He will take what is mine, Jesus said, and declare it to you. He will take what is mine, Jesus says, and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit shows us and helps us to understand God's word. This is the Lord. This is the Lord's word. This is the truth. The Holy Spirit takes and declares that to us. He reveals it to us. He takes it and He drops it in our spirit. Who Jesus is more and more. All that the Father has, Jesus said, is mine. Everything is Jesus. Jesus is. And therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's the Holy Spirit glorifying Jesus and how precious he is. You know, people say, they get a little tangled up with the article, the, before Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's a person. And people have this triangle shape of the Trinity. And they've got God here and Jesus and the Holy Spirit here. They're one. I'd like to erase that, please. They're one. They're one. They're so in tune. If they were dancing, you couldn't tell them apart. They're right in line. One doesn't have to lead the other. One's the source, and the other one brings to salvation, and the Holy Spirit enlightens our hearts. And there's works that they do in their personhood. It's a mighty thing, the Trinity of God. He's mighty, I should say, not a thing. The Holy Spirit leads the church in unity and in purpose. If it weren't for the Holy Spirit, and any time that anyone gets behind a pulpit or starts in a congregation and starts speaking about unity, you better believe the enemy's going to be going, rawr. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it at all. He wants to cause a trouble, a chaos, a strife. He wants what's been happening in the streets of America to happen and what's happening all over the world to happen. He enjoys it. He lives on it. He thrives on it. He's a loser. He really is. Because God is victorious and his word is victorious, and we in Christ Jesus are victorious. And that is fact. So any time that the enemy tries to pull us aside or meddle with something that's God's, which is unity of the church, remember, that's not of God. You can say it out loud. Someone come up to you, hey, I got something I want to share with you. I heard. You could say, wait, is this true? Is this lovely? Is this of good report? Is this just? Is this pure? Is this something that would be virtuous? Do my ears really want to hear this? You could say it out loud. You could quote that verse from Philippians. I believe it's Philippians 4. I can't remember if it's 12 or what. I might have got that wrong, but you can quote that verse to him or her and let them sit with it a minute. They may stop. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For your Father up above, he is looking down below. So be careful, little ears, what you hear, and little eyes, what you see. Little mouth, what you say. Little feet, where you go. Children's songs have a lot packed in them, don't they? Acts 1 and 14 says this. This is what was happening. All these were with one accord. They were devoting themselves to something very powerful and important, and that was prayer. Prayer. One accord. And we know Acts, the first chapter, is just leading into the next part. And they were obeying Jesus. They had gone and they had seen Jesus and they were obeying him. They were drawn together and they were in one accord and they were praying. Acts 2 and 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost arrived, where were they? Scattered about, talking, sitting in misery. The day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. They were obeying Christ. To obey Christ, we need to take a minute to slow down sometimes. We kind of get used to the norm, right? Even in a service, we get used to the norm. This is the way it's supposed to go. But if something happens, We may not recognize what the Lord is doing if we don't wait on Him. We just might go right on. We must be careful here at Easley First Assembly of God to make sure that we wait on the Lord, because He wants to work. He wants to work. And I cannot hardly pack it in. The idea of what He wants to do is not mine. I can feel it in my bones. There is attack. It's like that. On a map. 810 Sackluell Road. God placed it there. And this church was born. And it's been through some hard things. I have, you know. There have been people hurt. But God is victorious. And we must stand firm, just as was said to us and said to the people here at Antioch. Barnabas said, purposefully in your heart, remain open and loyal to Jesus. Remaining loyal to Jesus means sometimes, very seriously speaking, stay put, remain loyal. Sometimes it just means stand, right? When you've done everything else you know to do, just stand and God will see you through. Just stand. But it's not always easy. We can question God. That's okay. We may go searching for the answer and the Lord will work on it. But we've got to call on God and have Him in our... So many people do what they want to do. Don't we all? Sometimes I wonder if the Lord just looked at us and said, my gosh, there they go again. But He loves us. He continuously loves us and draws us back. I really didn't expect to go this direction with this. I wasn't sure where we would go. Acts 3:2 says this, while they were worshiping and fasting, while they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then we find ourselves today in 1 Corinthians. We find ourselves in 1 Corinthians 1 and 14. I think that's wrong. Yeah, we're in 12 and 14. Or 12. And it says in 1, I flipped it. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know, when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols wherever you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand, no one speaking in the Spirit of God, Spirit capitalized there, ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are various gifts. But the same Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Holy Spirit wants to use us. He wants to use you right here. He wants to use you. And I've been seeing it happening little bit by little bit. And some I've seen it for years. And we can glorify God every time we see the grace of God working. Just like Barnabas when he saw that. When we see the glory of God working, we're going to glorify God. Jesus will be glorified. And that's where we're at today. What we want to see is Jesus glorified. We could go on in, and we can't have these gifts of the Spirit working in any effect without the love of God. If you read on to chapter 13, that chapter of love. We can't. We'll be just like sounding like a clang, 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 clang.
or some instrument a little out of tune, maybe. We won't be right without the love of God. We must have the love of God shed abroad. We must be in unity through the love of God. Acts 13:3, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed those hands on them and sent them off. Now, they were already called. They already had giftings. This did not gift them. The Holy Spirit had already called them. Paul was called on the road to Damascus. Know that that's already happened. So this laying on of hands didn't give them a gift. The Holy Spirit had already done that. The Holy Spirit was already in work. This was them letting them go to the mission field, sending them off with blessing and praying over them and obeying to let them go. They had worked in that church for a year. They had taught the church, but their work was done. It wasn't a light service. It was an intense service. They worked hard, and you know they were praying and fasting. They were praying and fasting. You know they were worshiping. You know they were doing this in unity. They were seeking God, and God was moving against all obstacles. They were serving. If you read just the chapter before that, there was one that prophesied that there would be a great famine across the land. The church began to gather resources and took them to Jerusalem to help the weaker, to help those in need. And here we are. There's a famine across the land, y'all. There's a famine for the word of God in the lives and the homes of children. There's a famine. But that's not the end of the story, is it now? We have work to do. And we're being called to it. And isn't the blood of Jesus, isn't that sacrifice that he gave us precious enough to us to spread the gospel that he died for? To spread the word of what that is, that powerful blood. You want to come? The blood of Jesus. I am excited. I am really so very excited in what he's doing in my life. And in your life, in our church, in this body, in this spot on the map. When I went with Roger to that meeting with the principals and the leadership of the Pickens County Schools and the director of the YMCA here in Easley was there as well, and a few other people. They put a map on the screen that showed all of the schools in the area in red, all of the schools in all of Pickens County. And then it showed in blue all of the churches in Pickens County. The churches way outweigh the schools in number. And they said, God did that on purpose. Can you imagine that? School officials openly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, standing behind a pulpit with other church leaders in the community and sharing the gospel and how God saved them. I can't say that I ever thought the day would come. And there we see the windows open. And yes, the devil, he's raging, but he's a liar and he is a loser. It's a double L. He's a loser. He's lost. And he's mad. He's so jealous of God. He can't do nothing but spew out evil. I don't understand that. God is sovereign and he's the victorious one. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he wants you to serve him
all the way, purposely, intently, intentionally, all the way. Let everything else go that gets in the way. No sin. Let's move it out of the way. You got work to do. No sin. It's kind of like cleaning the house. Let's clean the house. We got company coming. Let's clean the house. We got company coming. Jesus is coming. People, get ready.